Would you open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 42, verse 22? We read, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers, for a spoil, and none said restore." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it brings life and light to our path. It feeds us, it fills us, that you speak to us, that you illuminate the mysteries contained herein by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We ask for it right now, Lord. You bless this time. Set free those that are captive. Deliver those who are kept in bondage. Let us hear from you tonight, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isaiah 42:22 is a sad, sad picture. It's a picture of God's chosen people, a picture of you and me who believe in Christ, who were once walking in victory, walking in obedience, once delivered, now enslaved, now ensnared, in the darkness, in jail, in a hole, left to rot. Perhaps in your life right now, you have a few questions. Based on how your life is going, these questions are, where is God? How come I don't sense his presence in my life? What's wrong with me? Why is this all happening to me? Maybe you believe in all your heart that you love God and that you want to obey God and that you want to live a good life, but you've made the mistake in thinking that God somehow grades on a curve. That somehow, if you just try your best and if it's not good enough, that's okay. And as a result now, you feel lost. You quit hearing the voice of God. Quit sensing the sweet Spirit of God. Let me encourage you first by saying, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He hears those questions. And tonight, let's pray that we can get back to that first love. Oftentimes, the answer to those difficult questions require us coming back to the place, that certain place where we didn't heed the call of God in our life, that certain place where we didn't walk on and follow. You know, that specific point on the path where we chose to follow our own way instead of following our good shepherd, the way. That's what you want. You want to walk in peace. You want to walk in victory. You want the abundant life. You don't want to be ensnared to addiction. You don't want to live in despair. You don't want to be worried and caught up with the ways of this world. You want victory. And that's what God has come to deliver you toward. Now, friend, let me just say the obvious for the sake of saying it. When we're not following Jesus, instead we're following our own path, we're going to get lost. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can take that to the bank. And there's nothing more miserable than a Christian living in darkness, ensnared in a state of complete sin. It's about the most miserable place anyone can be. No peace, no joy, living an empty life without purpose, We call that living in rebellion. Rebellion means, the literal definition is that we choose our own way. We resist authority. It's an action or process of resistance where Christ is saying for us to submit to Him. Why do we submit to God? Because He's good? Because He created us? Because He loves us? Because He knows what's best for us? That's what we did when we came to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We made Him the Lord of our life. We took up our cross and followed Jesus. You see, Isaiah 42:22 brings to light what it looks like living in a darkened state of rebellion. Many Christians, unfortunately, started out well, followed Jesus for a time, then turned away. They rebelled against His authority in their life. Is that you? Is that why you're asking those questions? Where is God? How come I don't sense His presence in my life? What's wrong with me? Why is all this happening to me? What causes the rebellion in us? Why do we veer off the path? Is it a big deal if we rebel every now and again? Let's look at 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's time for Christians to get serious about rebellion in their life. Stop making accommodation. Stop living in the asterisk, saying, I'm a Christian, asterisk, look to the fine print, except on Friday nights and Saturdays where I indulge in carnal pleasure. Not okay. You want to live in a pit? You want to live ensnared in shackles? Then continue living in rebellion. You see, God's best for us is snuffed out when we choose to disobey or reject Him and choose our own way instead of the way. In this account of 1 Samuel, here's Saul being told by Samuel, a man of God, that God was not with him because of his rebelliousness. I can't think of a more scary conversation than to have a man of God come to me and say, Randy, God is not with you. I can't even imagine that. Yet in contrast, we see King David, who was not perfect by any means, but was known as a man after God's own heart. How is that possible when we know of all the things that David did? Adultery, having a man killed, rebelliousness, because he wanted to please and honor God. This gets back to our heart condition. Do we have a desire to please God? Do we want to live in obedience? Friends, we can't fool anyone. We might be able to fool other people, but we can't fool God. Do we really want God's blessing in our life? Do we love God? If we love Him, we'll want to obey Him. David loved God and wanted to honor Him and please Him. And when he did veer off the path, once he was confronted by Nathan, he repented. He literally turned. There's an opportunity for you to turn, recognizing the great emptiness in your life, recognizing your condition. The late great Bible teacher Matthew Henry says, repentance in God is not a change of mind, but a change of method. You see, we literally change the course of our way, which ultimately leads to a change in conduct. What area of our life do we need to change? That's a question we must ask. And we can go before the Father and He will show us. As David prayed, "Search my heart, O Lord, for any unclean way." Areas of accommodation that we have made. Areas where we've decided it's okay if we do this. It's time to get rid of that. It's not worth it. Nothing is worth it. Yet the world will tell us, it's okay. Obey your thirst. Heard that slogan? Seems innocent enough. A soft drink slogan? Or what about, you only live once? YOLO. They sound good. They even sound like a positive message to work hard, seize the day. Yet, they're contrary to the teachings of Jesus. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We're not only supposed to deny ourselves and take up our cross, we're supposed to do it daily. This is a constant process. We have a burden in our heart. We have a call to action, a creed. We've been commissioned as Christians to go into all the world and proclaim the good news. What's the good news? That there is a deliverer, a Messiah, that Jesus Christ has come. He conquered the cross, rose again, and He's prepared a place for us in heaven. All those who obey, all those who accept and follow Him. And now, we too have a cross to bear. What does it mean to have a cross to bear? A heavy cross. Because we all have one. And some of us choose not to carry it. The Cambridge Dictionary describes our heavy cross to bear as an unpleasant or painful situation, or maybe even a person that we have to accept and deal with, although we find it very difficult. You see, being a Christian, we choose to walk the long and narrow road. It's not the wide road. Doesn't always have the lights and fame and flash, ease. It's a difficult road. So we must first understand that. It's not always going to be easy. But the good news is, once we became a Christian, He that is perfect will begin a perfect work through us as we daily walk in Him and follow His word. This is called sanctification. Jesus cleansing us. Jesus finishing the work that He began. Kind of polishing off the dross, making us refined, beautiful and shiny in Him. And see, Jesus went to heaven and He sent the Holy Ghost to empower us and to give us the ability to bear our heavy cross each day. What is it that you're having a hard time with in your life? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? Are you trying to love the unlovely in your own strength? Trying to be patient and kind when insulted and mistreated in your own strength? Coming before the Father, being renewed in Him, He enables us and empowers us to be victorious. What once used to be an immovable obstacle in our path is now a stepping stone with His power. You see, when we're faced with these heavy burdens, these obstacles, these difficult things we're dreading the most, we must allow that heavy burden to compel us onto our face before our Father. We can look at what Jesus did when he was getting ready to face the cross. What did he do? He spent some alone time with his Father. Why? To give him the strength, the ability to endure, to bring glory to his Father. That's what our heart should be like. We want to bring glory to our Father. That's what it is to be a follower of Christ. Matthew 10:38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now when we get back to the text, Isaiah, and look at verse 22, we must put it into the context of God's true nature and character. He isn't wanting to keep us down or keep us enslaved or deliver us to death. It's not God who's doing that to us. It's our free will to disobey and live in rebellion. In fact, looking at chapter 42, verse 1, we read, here's Isaiah foretelling the great offering and precious gift of the Messiah, the Redeemer. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Skip down to verse 3, we read of the character of God. This is, Christ will not deal rigorously with those that come to him, but he will use all gentleness, cherishing the smallest beginnings of grace, comforting and healing wounded consciences. Isn't that beautiful? Foretold by Isaiah over 700 years. And here's Jesus walking on the scene in Matthew 12:18, repeating it. What happened to this people that were redeemed, this people that were saved, God's amazing gift? Now we find them robbed and plundered, snared in holes, not acknowledging the blessing from the Lord, not calling on him, although he's ready to deliver them. They chose to be spoiled by their enemies. That's no way to live. I can tell you firsthand that's no way to live. I wish I didn't have the personal experience to tell you about it. You see, I also lived as a rebellious prodigal son for many years before finally giving my life to Jesus. Ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit, I quit following my good shepherd and chose instead to follow my own impulses and carnal desires. There could be some fleeting, temporary rush or euphoric feelings in that, but it always leads to emptiness, misery, despair, shame. Perhaps you feel the same way. You might have it all together. Your friends, neighbors, even people at the church might think you have it all together. You've done a good job cleaning yourself up. Maybe you're educated. Maybe you have a successful career or occupation. You have a beautiful family, a home, a car. Yet on the inside, you're desperate. You're hurting. You're empty. That's an indicator. You know what that indication is? That pain is an indicator that something's not right. Don't ignore it. Many people ignore that pain and will do almost anything to drown it out. I mean, they work harder. They think, well, maybe I need more money. They give money to charity. Maybe that'll make me feel better. They try all sorts of extreme sports, trying to get that rush, trying to get that high. none of those things work, you see? It just leads to more despair, more emptiness. Guilt. What's wrong with me that I feel this way? I have everything. You feel this way because you're separated from God. Your sins have left you empty. You can have the entire world, but if you don't have God, you're lost. You're empty. People turn to food for comfort, alcohol for companionship, drugs, sex, you name it. You'll try anything to silence that great emptiness. We know of many celebrities, wealthy people, who had it all. One of my favorite all-time greats, Robin Williams, winner of about everything you could win. An Oscar, 2 Emmys, 6 Golden Globes, 5 Grammys, wife, children. How could a man like that end his life the way he did? Empty. Despair. Or what about Marilyn Monroe? Beautiful, talented, beloved, yet feeling so alone and desperate and sad. Overdosing on drugs. Or the great Vincent van Gogh. Anybody who appreciates art must agree that that man was brilliant. To see the world so vividly and bright. Yet his own soul lost and imprisoned. His final words written in French, translated, "The sadness will last forever." There are so many people that are sad, that are lost, that need Jesus. And he's saying, "I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and dine with you." Only he can fill us. That space in your heart belongs to him. He's not being a killjoy. He's not trying to ruin your fun. He's not trying to steal your joy. He's here to fulfill your life and your purpose. He created you. He should know what it takes to make you happy. Will you give him your life? Will you say to him, "Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. Sit on the throne of my life. Wash me clean. Purify me. Snap the shackles. Turn on the lights. Lead me out of this pit."